nation where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
It's May 5th, 2012. I've just been recording the Children's Festival in Brighton. Hopefully that's a good sign of good things going on in 2012. A bit of inspiration. As you could hear, she may be not enjoying it. It's a lot of apprehension, a lot of bad things in the news at the moment in 2012. Lots of bad news in the economy and stuff. So we need something to inspire us. So hopefully we found that here outside Brighton Library. I've found a very interesting display of a mandala type of design, something to do with Stonehenge. So what exactly is this?
Hi, my name's Colin. Is that too loud?
Yeah, that's fine.
My name's Colin Wilby. I've been working for about, well, let's not say working, researching for about 10,000 hours on the subject of what you might call megalithics or sacred geometry, you might call. I met up with a man called John Michel in Jerusalem Old City a few years ago, and he showed me some numbers that measure a distance in British measurement, in the British measurement system, in feet across Jerusalem Old City. And I've been working on those numbers ever since, and I've cracked into the numbers, and I've found a grid of numbers which include a megalithic version of pi, a megalithic version of phi, and a megalithic version of a square that fits around the new or potentially the old Jerusalem. What is shocking about this square that fits over Jerusalem is that you've got eight moons that can be drawn across what each side of the square. So we have an 8 moon by 8 moon diameters, 8 moon diameters by 8 moon diameters square. And once you've got those moons, you can draw a representation of the Earth. So we've got a big Earth circle represented in the middle of Jerusalem. When you take one of those moons, that's an eighth of the size of the distance across the old city from wall to wall, from the Messianic Gate to the Jaffa Gate of Jerusalem, you can drop that circle onto Stonehenge, which you, my dear friend, can see here on this wonderful poster, the square. But that's actually the size of the moon in Jerusalem. And you can then realize that this secret grid of numbers that the Freemasons were looking at and that the Knights Templars obviously discovered at Jerusalem was an ancient system of megalithic numbers which was highly, highly developed, much further developed than anything that they're saying that the people are admitting to, or the powers that be are admitting to. I think they've got pi down as something like the 10th century or the 11th century. Well, here we have representations of pi, we have representations of the Earth, and they fit on Stonehenge. Now, this could all be very fluffy and something that I've just dreamt up in some drug-crazed fantasy, but what's happened is that the numbers that John Michel was talking about and I'm talking about are the British measurement system, so I can show you a grid of numbers which, as an ex-teacher of history and philosophy of science, I know that they are a reliable and efficient matrix or a grid of numbers which are difficult to argue against, you know. This is not a fluffy sort of idea. This is an actual proof. And in 1593, it looks very much like the Freemasons and the new Protestant government of Elizabeth, they decided to change the British mile from 5,000 feet to 5,280 feet. Right. And why did they do that? Yep. Because then the full moon, you got a very nice full moon there last night, Saturday, Saturday for May the 4th be with you too. And this full moon, and you look on the internet, you'll see that it measures 2,160 miles. And you take a zero off that and you're straight into megalithic numbers, because 216 is exactly 6 times 6 times 6. You have 8 moons across this square, which is 8 times 216, 8 times 216, which is equal to 1,728, which is 12 times 12 times 12. Right. You are into a mathematical system, and this mathematical system is... The crux of it is that there you can put an Earth circle in the center, a tiny Earth circle in the center of Stonehenge, then the moon appears on the Sarsen Stone circle, and the edge of the shadow of that effect appears on the embankments around the outside. So It's 800. The measurement from that Earth circle to the edge is exactly 864 units, which is half of 12 times 12 times 12, and it's what the British measurement system is based on. Stonehenge and the British measurement system are actually the same system of numbers,
yeah.
And it comes from what they call the Holy Grail, or the Holy Grid, or the Holy Grail, which is actually this this set of numbers. Now, when you take that square that from Stonehenge and drop it down 64 times, you can create the drawing of by Leonardo da Vinci of Vitruvian Man, and you can also put an Earth circle then on top of Vitruvius, and the size of the one moon. Yep. Remember, there's eight moons across each side of the square.
Uh-huh.
So one moon is the size of the head, and you can make the days of the week. So we have the sun here on the man's body. The man's head is the moon.
Yep.
Suna Mani Chu, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Actually should be Nana's day, because then you've got children. Freya is the mother and the father, and here you've got grandfather and grandmother. You've got a highly symbolic drawing, which is called the microcosmos, macrocosmos or something like that. What we're looking at is an overlay, a scaled overlay, a centrally merged scaled overlay of hundreds and hundreds of ideas, which the powers that be seem to be keeping it apart, that they're trying to keep it away from us, that all of this is based on very simple ideas. And it was very difficult for me to know what to call this thing, but eventually I call it the Peace Mandala, because mandala means a wheel, and peace means something like a balancing of opposites or harmony.
Mm.
Now, the great balances of the great balances and the great determiners of harmony in religious and sacred geometric terms are the Chinese, with their systems of hexagrams,
yeah.
And their belief in Tai, you know, Tai Chi and all this. Tai
yeah.
means harmony or peace.
Yeah.
This crop circle here appeared.
It's a
yin yang sign with the sun behind it, and it mirrored the same drawing that I'd found at Stonehenge. You can see the yin yang could be the earth. There's an air pocket there that we live on,
yeah.
And then you have the sun behind it. This things at Stanchionbury Hill Fort Crop Circle appeared on the 7th of the 7th, 2007. Now, that I thought to myself, well, this has got to be worth investigating.
Yeah.
I investigated it, and I found that there are eight trigrams that you can determine from the position of the Stanchionbury Hill Fort. The trigram is actually the trigram of the mountain, and the yin yang determines the trigrams of the male and the female. You distribute the other ones around, and you find that the eight hexagrams fit inside a solar calendar, and the 64 hexagrams create the 64 hexagrams of the I Ching fit inside of the calendar as well, with one line of each hexagram relating to one day of the year. So if you look on my calendar here, you can see this solar calendar here. Here we have May the 6th. You can look back and you can find one hexagram, and one of the lines of that hexagram relates to this particular day. And it keeps on going. It just keeps on going like this, going around here. And you can see that it's basically the same system in the east and in the west.
Yeah. So you've got a website with this sort of thing on?
I've got a website called peacemandalas.org. I call it Peace Mandalas with a plural, because everybody can create their own Peace Mandala. Beltane, today, you've met me on a very special day, because we've just gone through the peace. This is the time of peace. You have the hexagram for peace, which is number 11 in the I Ching, which relates to this particular day. No one's seen this information before. It's only in my book, which is copyrighted and available on my website. And you can see that Beltane holds this time of
the central balance,
basically pointing northwest to southeast. Here you can see the north-south distribution of the Earth's axis here, just slightly tilted over. So the human macrocosmos faces north-west to southeast, and the magnetic pole of the planet faces this way. And if you look here to the northeast, you see the gateway into the embankments of Stonehenge, yeah, pointing to Imbolc. So the whole thing maps out as a huge calendar. And yeah, you can find out more on my website and my book, The Peace Mandala, Volume 1, Stonehenge and Megalithic Measures, is actually available now on my website, peacemandalas.org.
Are you aware of the SC group, a meet up in Burgess Hill, the Crop Circle group? Have you ever come across Andy Thomas?
I've come across, yeah, I know Andy Thomas. Yeah, I've been to a couple of the Scout Hall meetings.
Scout Hall, I'll go to
those,
Scout, yeah.
Yeah. Are they still doing them out there?
We record them, we put them out on the podcast every month, or every 2 months we put them out on here.
Ah, do you? I listen to that, yeah.
Yeah, we'll hopefully add this onto it.
Yeah, well, I'm an old Crop Circle man. I've been running around a lot of Crop Circles, but I've been abroad a fair bit for about 20 years. So sure. I've been up in over 6 years in the Far East studying stuff and come back and realise there's a lot of megalithic stones out there and a lot of Crop Circles. And this information's coming out. Yeah, there's nothing that's going to stop it. And it's a very strange thing for me to have had this gift of being able to discover all of this information, but I'm sure people like Julian Cope and other megalithomaniacs like Hugh Newman and people like that are going to be quite cock-a-hoop about this information once it's out there in the street. And I'm just doing that today, selling posters of my work. I do a calendar every year. It's available on my website. And each one updates. 2013 will be available. I'll probably start selling it at Stonehenge on the solstice, which is there.
So that's 20th of June, is it? 21st?
20th of June. Well, if you want the exact time, it's the 20th of June at 23... Is that say 23.09? Yeah, 23.09.
Just to wrap it up, do you have any thoughts about the winter solstice, 11-11, 20th of... December, of course, it's a big day, isn't it? The end of the Mayan calendar.
Yeah, well, I think that from the dates that I've found, the long count calendar started on the 11th, 12th, or the 13th, 3114 BC.
Yeah,
as far as what I hear. So it lasts until the 21st, 22nd, or the 23rd of December 2012. I would say go back and have a look at the Avebury Manor crop circle of July 2008, which shows the planetary positions on the 23rd of December 2012. So they seem, you know, I've got this information from Stantonbury Hill means that there's a continuing amount of information being downloaded to us in the cereal crops. So I've got to believe that the 23rd of December, and the fact that it was such a difficult crop for humans to produce because it kept changing and whatever. So the 23rd looks like a key date. But I would be very circumspect about condemning your children unnecessarily and saying that something terrible is going to happen.
I never thought it's just the end of a cycle, they're back to the cycle or whatever. It's not the end of the world.
End of a cycle, for sure, yeah. And I noticed that Isaac Newton said, I see no reason... He said 2060, Isaac Newton, he said, I see no reason for its ending sooner. This I mention not to assent when the time of the end shall be, but to put a stop to the rash conjectures of fanciful men who are frequently predicting the time of the end. That's Isaac Newton in 1600 and something. So we're 400 years on, and people are still trying to get involved with scaronomics or fearomics or whatever they call it to frighten the people. So I just think I've drawn up my 2013 calendar, and I'm not expecting anything unusual to happen. How many people will actually experience something in the Mayan thing, and how much that will be affected by their expectations? Is a very difficult conundrum to think, and actually how to count and or how to realize what was happening is it's not an easy thing to judge, you know. But I really don't think the spaceship is going to turn up. I think the spaceships aren't really interested in coming down here and talking to us as a group of people, because they know that we're a very scared bunch, and they probably refer to us as brown legs 59B or something, which means that we shit ourselves. Am I allowed to say that on the podcast?
Well, I don't know. I think we are. We've gone out to our audience.
We poo ourselves. We poo ourselves every time the aliens come close to us. So, okay. I think
there is an interesting thing about this Earth circle here.
Yeah, this
you
is
see
in the
there in the center there. There's like this little these little dots and a little circle there, which actually is there at Stonehenge, and it looks like a spaceship flying around the side of the Earth planet.
So, little could they be posts, holes for posts, something like that?
This Earth circle is based on the Y axis of what's called the Y group of post holes.
Yeah.
So there are I think there are 30 of them there. So they fit in pretty exactly, and of course this Earth circle fits in with the station stone mechanism and creates this extra additional effect of creating this tangential moon, and this is the normal 3x12 by hypotenuse thing, which
is interrupted. It's V for Vendetta. The girls have a bit of Brighton Festival interruption.
It's all quite technical, but you can read it up in my book. I've got a labyrinthine book which explains the whole thing.
We like labyrinthine books. I've read Jeff Stray's Beyond 2012, so I got through that.
Okay. Well, there's a few around. Here's my daughter coming.
Okay. Well, we better wrap it up. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much for your time.
Okay,
as well.
Brilliant.
The information where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.